three. Uno, dos, tres. Robert Louis McGee Jr. is my name. My father was Robert Louis McGee Sr. And in his journeys in life, he had the privilege of working and hiring our brother Wellington over here, okay? And that was nice to be able to see he and his wife again since I was just a little guy. So it's good to see people. Garth Grady, who I went to college with, I can't stand to see someone that's Caucasian be able to speak fluent Chinese like he can. As I see people like Daryl Fisher in school, and he still looks young and I look older. So I see one of my teachers, Richard Stewart, over here, and he still looks young too. And as I look around and I see the Adventist family, it's a beautiful thing. And then meeting you fine folks on this tremendous week, it's nice, and this is a beautiful place to live. Happy Sabbath. Feliz Sabado to those. My sons are taking Spanish at home to learn these fine traits of relating to other people. And I would like to say Robert Louis McGee is married to Robin Michelle McGee, and she stands over there at 6'1". And if you're ever in a U.S. Airways plane, she could be your flight attendant. So be nice, or she'll give you first class seating. So I hate to tell you this, but I have to wear reading glasses at this point in my life. So I looked out there and I saw a lot of my friends that will be joining me. I'm going to incorporate the truly thankful and grateful message with some songs. And I would like to ask my friend, Mr. Bob Thornton, if he would play a song. And it is my prayer to begin just a few moments of thoughts about thankfulness and the texts that you read from the Old and the New Testament. Bob taught for many years at the Sacramento Union and then Adventist Academy. Anybody from Sacramento? There we go, right over there. And so his son, his wife is here, and his son, who is working in Sacramento, who is also a ministerial student, is here with his beautiful wife and the children. So thank you for journeying all that way to play a few songs for the McGee family. Let's play a song, Lord's Prayer. You know the words. If you want to hum or sing, I'll try not to throw you off, okay? But it's a song that no matter what happens in life, if you want to talk to God, you can just say these words. Thank you. sunglasses. 125s. Just wanted you to know that. Luke 17, from the New English. The New English Bible, not in Spanish yet, I'm working that way. In the course of the journey to Jerusalem, he was traveling through the borderlands of Samaria and Galilee, and he's entered a village he met by 10 men with leprosy. Now, you know, I grew up in Africa. Leprosy was, well, it was a death sentence. And as a little kid, I saw people's arms literally fall off in their legs, and my parents at first tried to shield me from that, and finally they said, no, just let them see it. This is the way life is. So I actually have seen leprosy. Thank God we don't have that in the United States of America. But they do have it in other places. And it was very contagious. And I thought to myself, hey, I'm here at Carson City Seventh Adventist Church. I just want to tell you what leprosy means in a modern day sense to me. Leprosy are the condemned and the shunned. They're the people of different religions that we don't like. The people of different genders that we don't like. The people of different socioeconomic places we don't like. That's what leprosy is to people today. The condemned. Those people that have been put under and driven under because they've been condemned because of their evil lives and their way that they have lived. God is punishing them. Wasn't it interesting that the people God punishes, Jesus went out and saved? So I guess God really wasn't punishing them because God is Jesus' son. Amen to that. I don't really like amens because I don't really like someone to amen what I say because I'm just some guy. However, if you say amen to a philosophy of what God has done for you. Then you can say amen because it's God you're saying amen to, not somebody, speaker's philosophical understanding of any kind of prophecy, any kind of thing in the scripture, because the Holy Spirit is what leads to all truth, not a person. And as I think about it today, that was a hard lesson for me because I grew up very, very, very judgmental. I've never drank, I've never smoked, I've never fooled around, I've all these things. And guess what? People are more scared of me than if I had done those things. I have no story to tell about what I used to do. I've always loved the Lord. Oh, but you're so immature, they'd say. Well, I'd rather be immature and nice than mature and a jerk. As I think about it today, as the 10 men approach me in my life, the people have been marginalized, minimized, and demonized by the paper, by the internet, by the church, or by anybody. I have to say to you that I learned from the scripture this. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 people that were outcasts. I have been an outcast before. I do not like it. The lady, that beautiful subject that she gave today about the children's story, it is not nice. When someone takes someone's lunch and gives them rocks, that is not nice. And yet, it's somewhat approved by some places. I appreciate that we have someone to look to. It stood in the way, and they called out, Jesus, Master, take pity on us. When he saw them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were on their way, they were made clean. I don't know, somewhere along the line, some minister, some evangelist may have told you, but the lady with the issue of blood had to go outside the city along with the other women during certain times of the year. And guess what? A man had to tell them whether they could come back to the city or not. A man had to tell them that. And they had to embarrassingly show themselves to see whether that was okay. I hate to say this, but sometimes even in our church, people are like that. When a man has to tell you what's going on, there's something wrong when it's God who we answer to. And you know what? When the lady found out she wasn't healed, she could never meet Jesus. Think about that today. We keep people sometimes from meeting the Lord because of our own religiosity. For as I believe that as we read these things, we find that these people cried out one thing, have mercy upon us. I have asked forgiveness and I beg for mercy and I have received it not from very close members of my family, including my own really close family. Please forgive me. No, you're dramatic. Please forgive me. No, you're full of it. You're just faking it. You're just on and on. And you know what? It takes its toll as you live in your life and want to be forgiven, and people will not do it because they're too right. So I tell you this, if you're taking notes, this is one I'd like you to write down. It's easier to be right than it is to be nice. Anyone can be right. How many times have I heard speakers get up and say, the Lord says, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Well, if he's the same way, then I guess I could have a lot of wives, concubines, and slaves. Because that wasn't that's not the case today. That's not the word I'm looking for. I'm looking for people of morality, people that I can stand by, people I can trust, people that I can be with, and people that say when they meet mercy that I will be able to give it to them, even if I'm talking too fast right now for some of you, I'll slow down. As I read in here, and says here, when he saw them, go and show yourselves to the priests. I think of the Bible stories. I think of people, go to the committee, go to the board, go to the PTO, the PTA, go to the conference, go to the union, go to your religious program and ask the questions, and they'll tell you, I don't buy into that. I think you should go to the Lord. One of them finding himself cured, turned back praising God aloud. Just real quickly, the words aloud, it is spelled what? A-L-O-U-D. That's an audible expression. Aloud. Praise the Lord is not disrespectful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is not dishonorable. There are other cultures and religions that have more praise sometimes than the Christian religion, which is sad because we should have the most. We know the Bible says the rocks will cry out if we don't. And using poor English, I'll say the song says, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place as long as I'm alive to glorify the Lord. You know that song, don't you? He threw himself and cured. It says they're on their way. One of them, finding himself cured, turned back praising God. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet and thanked him as he was a Samaritan. At this, Jesus said, were not all 10 cleansed? The other 9, where are they? Could none be found to come back and give praise to God except the foreigner? And he said unto them, stand up and go your way. Your faith has cured thee. Folks, a foreigner was the one that was grateful. Now, in my simple breakdown of the Bible, I can tell you what I find in this. I think it's foreign to be grateful. I think people say, hey, you just won that. My wife won a car on The Price is Right. And see, a lot of people were angry at her. My wife was grateful. Some people, they say, oh, I didn't want that kind of car. Think about it today. Think about it today. People get a sandwich and they go, I don't want that kind of sandwich. You know, I have nothing against vegan, but I tell you, if you're hungry, vegan is going to be just fine. I'm just saying, you should not make fun of what you can get. And then when you go to a church and they don't have a certain division, well then you could raise your hand and be a part of that division. And if you say, I'm too old and there's no one doing it, I guess you're not too old then, aren't you? If someone can only do one thing and they're the only ones, I mean, we read the story about the 2 farthings, right? That was enough, wasn't it? Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. When God is looking for when we're looking for a king, God sees that shepherd boy out there and says, that will be my king. The exchange rate of the measurements that we use at any church, at any level, is sometimes skewed. And I'm going to say today, in my shot with you, is that if we were truly thankful, we would be on a level where we could understand God's reasoning and his mercy. For it doesn't say his truth shall last forever, folks. It says his mercy will last forever. And I know that judgment is very much a part of what's going to happen. But you know what? We're judged before the judgment. We will be judged according to the way we judge others. Remember that. How you judge others is the same measuring tool God will use on you. If you're strict on people, he will be strict on you. Because God is fair. He has to be fair. He'll say, this is the way you judge others. I have to use your judging. Oh my. If you say, hey man, I'm going to be lenient, God will say, well, you were lenient with them, I'll be lenient with you because this is the way you set it up. I want you to know I am fair. You know, we're all looking for the city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And that can be the holy city, which I'll play in a moment, or it could be you right now. It could be you right now because when you walk out, it doesn't matter where you go, you are a beacon of hope or you're bringing despair. I was with your head elder and we went to Jack in the Box and we saw 2 guys in there that had, I said, what teams do the people in Nevada like here? And I thought for a minute, well, it'd have to be the 49ers. Of course, Rick said, no, that's not the team. But then Rick was smart because he saw on the shirt of a young man, he saw the Wolfpack, and he said, that's my team. And of course, then the guy brightened up and said, hey, all right. And just instantly, friends were made. Friends were made because that is how you get along with others. You sometimes have to not give your impression, because if God truly is the person who we're made out of in His impression, then He will make things beautiful in His time, not in our time. You know, Seventh-day Adventism has a message that is so awesome. It's called the Three Angels Message. Amen. I like it. However, the way I look at the Three Angels Message doesn't seem like some of my friends don't get it. And I just think the Three Angels Message is great because I believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church belongs to all these Christian people. And yeah, we go to church on Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, we have Ellen White. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm not against any of that. But I think others are going to see us and say, wow, they're the only Christian church that likes Muslims and gays. And we're the only ones. They're the only ones. The other Christians are condemning people. They're throwing them out. The Adventists have an opportunity to make hay while other Christian people are just falling asleep. Today, I think the message we have is beautiful. When we think about meeting on God's holy day, it can't get any better than this. We're going to go eat together. We're going to have people here that are on fire to go out and help people find the Lord. It's exciting. That's exciting. It can't be any more exciting. But we don't want to be like others and fall into Babylon. We don't want to. We have that come out of her, my people mentality. And it means that we are the loving people. We're not known as the people with many wives or the people that don't eat this or don't wear this. We're known as those Seventh-day Adventist people actually love people that other people don't love. Now you can say amen if you believe that was true. Because it's hard to love people that you don't like. It's easy to keep the Ten Commandments, but it's not easy to love people you don't like. In fact, I thought Jesus was the only person that kept the Ten Commandments. But then I realized that there was someone else. It was the rich young ruler. He said, didn't I keep the Ten Commandments since I was a little kid? And what did Jesus say? Yes, you did. But you'll give your money to me, but you won't give it to that person. And he hung his head in shame. We won't be like that, will we? We'll be the one that when we see that we're healed, we'll be the ones that will come back and say, have mercy upon me. We will fall on our face in front of God, and we will fall on our knees in front of others and ask them for forgiveness for not being the kind of example. I have had to ask forgiveness on a regular basis to my wife, to my children, to my members, to many people. I am truly sorry for some of the ways I've handled myself in board meetings. Truly sorry for how I've handled myself in some of the ways in games, or I handle the votes of the conference or general conference. I should handle it with grace. I should handle it with kindness. I should be grateful that I still am part of the family of God. I should still be grateful that I'm a person that I don't have to worry about whether I'm liberal or conservative or moderate. I don't have to worry about all these things because I know one thing, that the good Lord was a magnet of attraction to people that were lepers and outcasts and rejects. His name was Friend of Sinners. And unless your name is Friend of Sinners, you have a lot of place to go. There should be people in churches with wheelchairs, and there should be people that out in the parking lot putting their cigarette out. There should be people that are so old they can hardly get in. There should be babies wanting to flood in, not because certain things are right or wrong and should be accepted in people's lives, but because every one of us, if you give some people long enough, could find out something wrong with you. When I go in and see the psychiatrist once a year, it's because I go in to see the doctor once a year, and I hate going in, and I say, Doc, am I okay? And he goes, two eyes, one nose, one mouth. But you have some other problems. Your eyes, they're not here. You got to clean the wax out. We don't do that spiritually. We think, once saved, always saved, like the rest of the people we don't like to believe. Every day, we wake up and cry. And as we finish this up before the song, the exciting part of it is, stand up and go your way. Your faith has cured thee. You can stand up, and whether you're not feeling exactly the same way as everyone else, you'll know the difference between people and people is thankfulness and unthankfulness. I look forward to the holy city, but I also look forward to the city that I live in. Whether it be in Ohio and Columbus, whether it be in New York City or Florida or the Carson City, wherever it is, you people are part of me. So it's not you people, it's our people. And it's not, isn't that wonderful to be? We're human beings. Oh, you're talking like a humanist. Well, you know what? If God loves humans, then I guess he is somewhat humanist as well too in that definition. And what it means is, I know there's a Savior and he's in the world today. And I know whatever he's going to speak into my wax-filled ears, and I can read about him with my 125 eyes, and I can play songs for him like the Lord's Prayer. And today I can play about the Holy City. And here's the cool part. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, when I play the song, Holy City, it's not just last night I dreamed, it's today I dream. So let's play that song together, and then I'll have a prayer for you, and then we'll have this glorious baptism, and it's going to be an exciting time. Thank you for the opportunity to share. In a moment, I will share one other story. Let's play the song together. More than a dream. And I appreciate the scripture reading already, Daniel 12:13. I'll just say it to you. It says, Daniel, God saying to him, at the end of your day, don't worry, you'll stand in your plot. That is assurance, is it not? Did God look at Daniel and say to him, you're standing in your plot because of your good works? He stood in his plot because he said, I will be faithful to God. Our faithfulness does not make us better than other people. It makes us better people. We're not better, but we're better as our own selves. The measuring stick, I come back to. All 10 of them were healed, you guys. Us guys. We're all healed. But what are we doing about it? I'm going to say this, because I can. People always say we need to finish the work. We need to finish the work. Folks, the work is finished. We need to proclaim God's finished work. He has done the work. He said on the cross, it is finished. He did the work. I didn't do it. He did it. My job is to proclaim what God has done. That's the joy I have to give to other people. Not the joy of how hard I'm working to finish the work. When I hear people say, we need to finish the work, that'll never happen. We could never finish a work. We cannot do it. But you know what we can do? We can tell everyone we know what God has done. And when we do that, people will be transformed into the likeness of the Lord. And they will not be the Lord because we're humans. But we will be as the disciples. We'll be as the patriarchs that we sing about. We'll be the people actuality. You know, Ellen White tells us that the greatest work we can do is the work that lies nearest to us. So why would we not want to follow that? Why would we not want to transform lives? You know, many times people get into positions to tell other people about Christ because their friends and family won't listen to them anymore. Start in your own house. And then we tell stories of, well, we told our mom and our dad and they're lost and this person's lost. Folks, the only people that are lost are people that don't know that they're already found. And that's what we need to tell. The shepherd went out and he found the lost sheep. The shepherd already knew where the sheep was or he wouldn't be able to find him. Think about it today. People are lost because they don't know they're found. It's our job to tell them that they're found. Oh, he's playing with semantics. I'm not playing with semantics. It feels differently to know that people love you. Have you ever told someone, hey, you know I love you or I care for you? If you can't say that, you get a lawsuit. If you just say, hey, I care for you and show that. And the church said, I, pastor, my wife and I will stand at the door. I'm not going to do that today. Don't panic. But have my lawyer, my wife and me. I said, if you need a hug or a kiss, come by. The line is always bigger where we're at. Why do I have a lawyer there? Well, you know why. Why do I have my wife there? Well, you know why. But there are people today that need a positive touch where they've had a negative touch. They need to not be neglected. They need to be accepted. Not for what they're doing that's wrong, but that as a human being with the same need for the Savior. The same mercy that we cry out for. Mercy, have mercy upon us. You know what? This was scripted. What I'm going to say now isn't. I feel like I'm going to go nuts and say this to you today. Folks, when I read the Bible, when I read it, just like when you read it, you can come up with just as many ideas as me, and it's okay. I may be a pastor, but you know what I like the best about anything about this church? The best thing about this church, and I don't know what's going to happen in this life, I like that better than anything in this church right there. That's what I like right there. That, if you believe that, you have to build another one. Every person, but what if they do this? What if they do that? What if they do this? Well, folks, we can go down the line and there's always something somebody's doing they shouldn't be doing. Amen. Starting with the way we look at others. You know, we have to look at ourselves and say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Amen. And lastly, my mother would tell me this. I said, Mom, would you love me always? She goes, yes, I would. What if I was a mass murderer? Would you love me? Yes. I said, would you still make me chocolate chip cookies? She said, I would make them for you, but I'd be disappointed in you. You see, disappointment doesn't take away love from people. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Disappointment doesn't take away love. Oh, but pastor, you know there's got to be rules. Well, I'm okay with rules. I'm okay with him. I think we need him. I definitely do. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm not going to go out and be the exactor of that rule. I am a person that wants to catch fish and not clean them. I want to be a person that can appreciate, even if I didn't like everything everybody did, as long as they're not truly trampling over the top of other people, it would be acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we're having a baptism, and I thought, what greater song that I could play for this one as they're preparing for it right now. Well, I could just sing. I'll get the leaders up here and sing this song. And it's called, well, let me just tell you this. This will help some of you. I mean, I'm trying to help you out here with it. There are two kinds of songs. There are songs about God, and there are songs to God. To God. Got that? Songs about God and songs to God. I'm not pushing for anything. I'm just saying songs about God are hymns. We sing about God. They're wonderful. Songs to God are praise songs. There are some hymns, however, that are praise songs. And this is a hymn that's a praise song. So I'm getting the best of both songs in one. Very few hymns are praise songs, but this one is. Okay? And I'm going to play, not this one right here yet. This is one I'm going to play. This one, then we'll play. This is called How Great Thou Art. Because it's a song. Is it about God or to God? It's about to God. So when you sing it today, I would like you to think about your life, your experience as a leper. Have you ever thought of yourself as an outcast? Because we all are outcasts. That's why Jesus came. If we weren't an outcast, then we would have no need for him. We'd be our own Jesus. So today, when we seek the Lord and we sing this, then sings my soul, sing it for what you care to God and not for your neighbors or friends or family that you want to change. God will take care of that. But today, let's sing. So play that song for me. How great. Sing with me. Just the first and last. Just the first and last verses. Okay? First and last. Thank you. Thank you. It's beautiful. I think Brother Davis is going to lead us on our closing song, and then they'll do the baptism. Oh, and Brother Matheson. Sorry, sir.